I don't feel like that. That's too mellow for to me for today. Let's do like this. Hello, everybody, and welcome once again. 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on this fine Sunday morning. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master, and this is The Master Plan. Number to call in is 347-637-3220, 347-637-3220, and we'll be right back after this. Around Delaware before I enter. Don't do seduction from face to the feet. A wiggle and a jiggle can make the night complete. Now since you got the body of the year, come and get the award. Here's a hint, it's like a long shot short. Flip tails and let me see you shake it up like that. The way you shake it up is turning mighty men a mite. But ain't plus, got a surprise, that's a backbreaker. Now let me see you shake it up like a rum shaker.
All I wanna do is drum a zoom, 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 and a boom, boom. All I wanna do is drum a zoom, zoom.
Hello, and like I said, this is a fine Sunday morning, and welcome to The Master Plan. You know, I've been saying a lot of things over the weeks. I've been doing a lot of things over the weeks, talking a lot of smack over the weeks in bad fantasy baseball. Well, I'm humbled. I am very humbled for the last few weeks. You notice I haven't been saying too much because I've been getting humbled week in and week out. But that's okay. That's okay. It is what it is. When I put it out there, I got to be able to accept it when it comes back to me twofold. So it is what it is. We got a great show in store for you today. I'm going to talk about a little about baseball, very little about baseball, but the majority of the show, just like it's been for the last few weeks, we're going to be talking about fantasy baseball. In particular today, we're talking about the tight ends. The evolution of what the tight end's position is right now. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm just going to be talking about the positions as it pertains to fantasy football. So before I walk into that tunnel and start talking about football, we're going to be talking about baseball. But before I do that, my esteemed host of FSP Show and my esteemed co-host of for today is on the line. So I want to bring him in. Welcome, Mr. Gardner. How are you today?
I'm doing quite well. You know, you've been humbled. You will continue to get humbled, especially at the last game of the season. You will be humbled.
God. You know, you should be talking, but that's a good. I'm going to give you your time. Go ahead.
I mean, it is what it is. I know where I am. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm trying to do. We will see. You'll be the Eli Manning of our fantasy. You'll be rapping, trying to get a DirecTV contract. But we
should. And let me tell you something,
I went to the Nationals game last night, and it was off the hook.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Outstanding game.
Who the Nationals playing?
They beat up on the Phillies.
Okay. Oh, okay. 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 Did your boy do anything? Because I really didn't. I don't think he did too much yesterday. Mr. Harper, did he do anything?
It wasn't Bryce. Jason Worth had a very, very good game, even though he had an error. He had a very, very good game. He hit a three-run home run that was his 1,000th hit of his career, and it also put the Nats up in the game. And I think they got one more run from Ramos, and they won 8-5 last night.
I suppose, is that the first time you've been to a Nationals game?
Yeah. My phone died on me, so I only got two pictures, but it was a great, great game.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad you had a good time last night.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't. my team, and I talk about it briefly. We got a little bit of time. My team is going down in flames lately. It's I got my MVP candidate on the bench because he's on the DL because he's hurt. I got my all-star second baseman on the bench because he's hurt. I got my other MVP candidate who's on the Dodgers. He has been playing in about a week, and he's hurt. So I'm hurt on the batting side. So it is what it is. I was lucky enough to be able to weather the storm earlier when I had guys hurt, including Hanley. But the guys that took their spots, I unfortunately I traded them away, and I got some capable replacements. But at this time of the year, when other teams in the league have made moves or whatever, either strengthen themselves or shored up some weaknesses, I'm going the opposite way. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I got a few more weeks, and I'm hanging on by a thread for the number four or five spot or whatever it is. So, and I'm getting hammered.
Don't worry.
I'm getting hammered this week. So I know what's coming. Let me put it this way. I think we have three more weeks left, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm looking at the schedule on that now. We have after this week, you have three more weeks left. Living in the Hold is sitting there waiting for me, and then Guy Farting, and then yours truly, Mr. Gardner, is waiting to catch me in the last week, and it would be sweet music if he could knock me out of the playoffs in the last week. I know what's coming.
Hey, Jerry, what's coming, huh? Jerry, didn't I tell you that would be the case at the beginning of the season? Either I was going to make the playoffs or I was going to stop you from making the playoffs.
Well,
right,
you haven't done
now,
that yet. You have not
well,
done
not
that
yet.
Yet.
Not
you
yet,
haven't
but
that, you...
the last week is coming. And with the trade I just made, I tried to help you out, bro. I tried. You didn't want to come up off of what I wanted. But now I'm going to have better bats because I'm going to have all the St. Louis hitters, really. I like Tetherin for the Braves. He's going to pitch on Monday, so I get him in time. And I think it's going to be a pretty good closeout for me. Will I make the playoffs? It's unlikely. However, I'm going to take some people with me. Because I've won. The only week I've lost in the past 3 weeks is against Hakuna Matata or Tejada, and that was a 10-11 loss. And it was okay. It was okay because it was a close week all week. But I'm going to win this week. Watch. I know I'm losing now, but I'm going to win this week.
You think?
Yep.
Victor, I'm looking at your schedule, and from week six to week 14.
We don't have to bring that up.
Wait a minute. See, but see, you opened the can of worms. You opened the can of worms. I didn't. You opened the can of worms about your record. I didn't open up saying what my record was. You opened the can of worms up. From week six to week 14, which in my part of mathematics is 8 weeks straight that you lost. It could be 9 weeks. I didn't really count it up, but it seems like it's 8 weeks straight. So you're pumping your chest out because you won the last two out of 3 weeks. I wouldn't do that if I was you because you're losing this week.
Well,
so,
listen, it's not that I'm puffing my chest out. It's the fact that I have the great opportunity, and everybody's going to be pulling for me because nobody likes your team for whatever reason. Nobody wants to see the champ repeat.
You're not telling me. I know that. You know what? What you were on the line when I said I know I've talked a lot of smack, and I'm humbled right now, and it's coming back to me twofold. I understand. Trust me. Just because I talk a lot of smack does not mean that I don't know that if I can't back it up, no one's going to say anything. They're going to relish, absolutely relish. Can't wait. If I don't make the playoffs, they can't wait to pound on me. So I know that, which is fine. which is fine. That's why I'm scrambling like hell to at least make the playoffs. But it doesn't look good unless I get my boys back, my bats back. I think I can stream some pitchers together, and I think my boy is starting to turn the corner, which is good. I'm talking about Verlander. We'll see today if you can put two good outings back to back. I have a shot because I guess got rid of Cueto because I've given up on him, and hoping Buchholz will come back shortly. So I have two decent pitchers, at least two decent pitchers that I can count on, Greinke and Verlander, and I got a few other ones that aren't too bad. But you know, like I said, I need to get my bats back because at the most worst time of the season, which is near the end of the season, I got three of my all-star bats. Two of them were MVP candidates, and Molina and Ramirez are sitting on my bench in the DL or hurt, which is not good. So,
And
for the last two weekends, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday hasn't been played out, my bats that are playing are weak. They've gotten silent. They're not hitting like they were earlier in the season. I don't know what the hell's going on. Yesterday, I have my whole team's average was, I think, 150. The week before that, it was below 200 again over the weekend. And you can't win like that if your pitching is weak and your hitting is real weak. You just throw your hands up and said, wait till Monday, start another week. So, but it is what it is.
Yeah,
and I'm looking forward to you at the end of the season, so I can kick your ass and finally silence you, and finally silence Mr. FSP, and make my way into the playoffs. Now, I had said earlier to you publicly on the radio, I don't think I'm going to win it this year, but I said I'm making the playoffs because I've been struggling with my pitching, and I haven't solved that issue yet. So it is what it is.
No,
I mean, we'll see.
Don't
what
worry,
happens.
You won't make the playoffs.
I'll make the playoffs. Anybody who's in my league, if you were wishing that I wasn't going to make the playoffs, I will make the playoffs. I may not win it, but you never know. But I may not win it, but I'll be in the playoffs. So the champ will not be a fluke. He'll be in the playoffs this season after the championship last. And that's the only way you're going to take it. If I don't make the playoffs, then you took my championship. As long as I make the playoffs, I got a shot. I'll make the playoffs.
Move on, old timer.
Anyway, we had talked yesterday, Victor, about this, and a little bit more has come to light. Okay, after we talked about it, and I researched a little bit more, and Albert Pujols, I had told you before, he said he's going to take legal action on Jack Clark, and I don't know if you know who Jack Clark is. I remember Jack Clark. He was a pretty good player, very good player for late St. Louis. And for the Cardinals, all right? He and this other
guy.
He
got fired.
Yeah, Kevin, thanks for, you know, can I finish this?
Can I
finish this? Okay.
And
his cohort, Kevin Slayton, had made our accusations on a radio show in St. Louis that he knew for a fact, because he had talked to the guy who had been close to Albert Pujols, trainer or something like that, and that the trainer had told him that he had injected PEDs into Albert Pujols. And Pujols said in a statement Friday, okay, I'm going to send a message that you cannot act in a reckless manner like they have and get away with it. If I have to be the athlete to carry the torch and pave the way for other innocent players to see that you can do something about it, I'm proud to be that person. I have 5 young children, and I take being a role model very seriously. The last thing I want is for the fans, and especially the kids out there, to question my reputation and character. And that's a, end quote. And that's the exact same thing I was talking to you about yesterday. That, guy, you just can't recklessly go out there and accuse somebody of taking performance-enhancing drugs or just throw it out there. God, anybody can't just arbitrarily throw it out there. And in this day and age, you can't do that because that's character assassination. That's mm-hmm. Albert, and I told you, Albert Pujols is a big, good guy, and he does a lot in the St. Louis community. And he's a proud, and I do believe he's Hispanic or someone, I don't know exactly what minority he is, but
I think he's Puerto
proud, excuse me, Puerto Rican? Okay.
So, yes.
He's a proud, extremely proud man and a caring person. And this is would be a big blow to his character, and I don't blame him. I applaud him for standing up. And, in fact, Jack Clark and his co-host, Kevin Slayton, were both terminated by the radio show because of this supposedly reckless thing they did on the air, which is, you know, you can't do that. And that's what I'm saying. You go down a dangerous path when you accuse somebody, and as soon as you start accusing them, those persons are considered guilty. In this day and age, when you do that, especially when it's so heightened about these athletes, especially Major League Baseball, because that's what's on everybody's tip of the tongue if they're into baseball, about them taking PEDs, you can't do that and be able to survive, whether you're in print media or whatever media you're in, without any kind of proof or some know-how of what you're saying is the truth. You just can't throw it out there. And my opinion is this: I think Mr. Jack Clark, because I think he has had some type of agenda about Albert Pujols, and that's just my opinion. To be able to throw that out there, because no person in their right mind, especially if they're on the radio or TV, would just arbitrarily do that. It had one of two reasons: had an agenda, or he just wanted to put it out there because he thought he couldn't get away with it. I don't know how you feel. Talk to me.
Well, you know, if you look at how we do things, we're on the internet. We're people have to come to us to find information. Otherwise, it's not heard or stuff like that. But he's on a radio show that's broadcast all day, and yeah, people still have to go to him to get it. But if you or I were to say something about Albert Pujols, what's the likelihood that somebody's going to take that and go with it and say, oh, well, maybe he's on steroids, maybe we need to check? Not likely.
Mm-hmm.
But because he has the credibility and the connections in the media outlet to do that, you know, whether it was tongue-in-cheek or not, he has to be responsible for what he says. I mean, granted, we do too. We do as well, but the likelihood of Albert Pujols calling our show or suing us is different because we're speculating. It's all in the wording. If he
mm-hmm.
says, if Clark says he had a source that says that Albert Pujols may or may not have been or may have been shooting up in St. Louis,
mm-hmm.
that's different than saying that, yes, I know that he did it because XYZ said it. It's all in his wording. And he just, you know, put it together and said, well, someone came to him and said that Pujols may have been shooting up while he was here in St. Louis. He would
mm-hmm.
still have his job. He would still have his job. Because at that point, you're not accusing. You're creating speculation, but you're not accusing. And what Clark did was accuse him, which leads to slander.
Mm-hmm.
It's all in the context of the words. I mean, I don't think Pujols did it, but that's just my opinion.
Well, let me put it this way. The guy said he did it. He knew, this is his exact quote. I know for a fact he was. The trainer that worked with him threw him batting practice from Kansas City that worked him out every day and basically told me that's what he did. Now, that's Clark's statement on the air.
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. Now, T.J. Quinn, now you know who T.J. Quinn is. He's the guy who's been on ESPN and all about all these PEDs that's been going on in Biogenesis. Well, ESPN talked to T.J. Quinn on Friday, and the trainer that Jack Clark is talking about denied telling Clark that Pujols took PEDs. This is his quote. I haven't even talked to Jack Clark in close to 10 years. His statements are simply not true. I have known Albert Pujols since he was 18 years old, and he would never use illegal drugs in any way. I would bet my life on it and probably drop dead on the spot if I found out he has. As before, once again, both Albert and myself have been accused of doing something we didn't do. So, you know, like I said, I think he just put it out there. I mean, he said he talked to the guy and Milfield, said he had worked, I guess he told Clark over 10 years ago that he had been done work with Albert Pujols. But I don't know where Jack Clark got the idea or where he just all of a sudden just put that out there that he knows that Pujols had taken freaking PEDs, which is, you can't do that, plain and simple. And you know who I have sitting waiting to speak, and I'll let him come up right now, and I'll pronounce his name the way I can best pronounce it. Welcome, Mikal. How are you today?
Good Sunday morning to you, brother. How are you?
Okay. Happen to have on the line your blood relative.
Boo! What?
Oh, man. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you guys are ready for some fireworks because this is what happens when these two guys, oil and water, get together. Anyway,
I'm going to leave them alone today. I'm going to leave them alone today. I'm feeling good.
This is a day of worship today, man. Peace and harmony today. How's that?
Sounds good.
Anyway, we're just. Oh, I lost Victor. Victor, you back again? You back again?
Yeah. Okay. I think you pushed the button to knock me out.
No, I didn't push the button. I'm not even close to the mouse. I got my hands on something else. Not even close to. I got another PC I'm looking at. Anyway. We had talked about Mr. Pujols and getting accused of PEDs yesterday, Mikal, and we had just finished up the conversation and talked about the guy who, the duo, I should say, who accused him on radio in St. Louis had just got fired by the company that owns the radio station.
Right.
So I don't know if you want to comment on that because
it don't really matter. I mean, the whole thing is just crazy. The whole thing is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
If it's untrue, you know, it's something that should be done. But you know, we be on here making accusations, speculating, and whatnot. So you know, it don't matter. It don't even matter, man.
Okay. All right. Today, like I said, we're going to be talking about the, you know what, let me do this first, and then I'll come back, and we'll talk about the tight ends in fantasy football. Where is it? Here it is. We'll be right back.
You all know and love her from the WNBA. But now you can hear her every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. It's Time Out with Sylvia Crawley.
This is Time Out with Sylvia Crawley. I'm your host. I have a very interesting show lined up for you tonight. We have Mr. Otis Winston. Otis, thank you so much for being on the show.
You know it's my pleasure, Sil.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. Time Out with Sylvia Crawley. Information, motivation, variety.
Okay. That's Time Out with Sylvia Crawley. Tune into that show, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Monday. Mr. FSP, Victor, co-hosts that show with Sylvia, and it's a very good show with some very interesting and good guests on there. Victor, do you have a can you tell us who's going to be on there tomorrow?
You know what? I have the information, but I don't have it right here. If you give me 2 seconds, I'll probably find it. But it is another former UNC and WNBA player that Sylvia played with. And I'll give you that information once it comes up to me. I got to check again.
Not a problem. Anyway, let's go to the prime subject of what we're going to be talking about today, and that's in fantasy football. The last few weeks, I've gone through the quarterbacks. I've gone through last week with the quarterbacks on Saturday. Sunday was the wide receivers. And with the wide receivers, I also gave you some guys to look for. I'm going to try to do that again today. I got on my top 25 two sets of guys that happen to be on the same team that I think they're going to be effective, as in always. These teams for the last few years, with the New England Patriots setting the precedent of a two tight end set, some of these teams are going to be featuring two tight ends also, and I think both of these guys at one point in time are going to be effective on their respective teams. So being said, let's start off with number 25. We're going to go into the great state of O, which starts with an O and ends with an O, Ohio, and with the Cincinnati Bengals. My number 25 rated, in my opinion, tight end for the fantasy football comes out of the great college of Notre Dame, and he was the top tight end that was taken in the 2013 draft. Talking about Tyler Eifert, okay? He was the 21st pick in the April draft, and quite naturally, everybody who knows fantasy football knows that they do have another tight end. So, but he's clearly the team's long-term solution at the position. But he'll need to wait behind the veteran, but he'll be used in tight end sets. I can guarantee you that. Because a talent like that picked in the 21st in the first round is not going to be sitting on a bench with as much talent that he has. So he's going to be a fantasy asset for years to come. he may not be as consistent as you would want him to be, but being that he has the quarterback of Andy Dalton, who doesn't have the strongest of arms, who I know he has T.J. Green, and I know he has another tight end, which I'm going to be talking about shortly. He's going to be used in the offense quite a bit because of the type of offense to run, he'll be another effective option in that offense. I'm talking about Tyler Eifert. He's my number 25 on my tight end hit list. Victor, talk to me.
Tyler Eifert is, if you're looking at Hard Knocks, you can see that he's going to be a big part of their offense.
Right.
He's a big body. He can go up and get the ball. They're comparing him somewhat to Tony Gonzalez and what's my guy name in San Diego?
Antonio Gates.
Yeah, Antonio Gates. They're comparing to that. And you're right, they're going to go to more two tight end sets, but they still have the fullback back there. But Gresham is going to be their blocking tight end who can catch. And it's going to be more of a split-out wide receiver type situation for Eifert. He's still going to line up at tight end. He's still going to block. But you're going to see him employed much like Gronk is, because he's a big guy.
Mm-hmm.
Body you out and go over and get the ball. So that's a guy that, if let's say, for instance, you didn't get a tight end and it's your last pick, you can take him or another player that I mentioned last week that kind of got very upset, but it is what it is.
And it didn't get me upset because, hey, it is what it is. Yes, and Gresham is not the most durable guy, so you never know. With the Eifert, he's a very athletic tight end, and I wouldn't be surprised. And I'm not saying he's going to, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's more of a favorite target in the tight end position in Gresham before the year's
out. Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised about that. And Mikal, you got any comment on?
I don't know these two guys.
Okay. No problem. Let's move on to number 24. And he happens to hail from the same team. hail from the same team. They're freaking frack here. These guys are going to be tied to the hip together because both of them are athletic, big tight ends. He hasn't quite lived up to expectations. He was also selected back in 2010 in the first round. He set career highs in receptions and yards and a 70% catch rate. And this is pretty impressive for a tight end, 11.5 yards per reception last season. That's pretty impressive for a tight end. No tight end was better than Gresham after a catch last year, okay? So Mr. Gresham has to stay that way. Otherwise, like I said, Mr. Eifert will surpass him. So they have a two tight ends, and I do believe that they're going to be running two, just like we said before, we're going to be running two tight end sets. So he has to sustain his consistency. Otherwise, he may be taking a more of a back seat to Mr. Eifert, and I don't have him listed as a bust, but he is not. That's why he's number 24. He's not as consistent as he could be, based on the draft of 2010, the first round draft pick. Even though he had the best yards per reception mark last season than any other tight end, which 11.5 is very impressive for a tight end. Talk to me, Victor.
Yep. I like Gresham. He did something on like the first episode of Hard Knocks where he pancaked the defensive tackle. I can't remember his name right now, but he's the best one in the game. Geno Atkins. And he had a little bit of a false start doing it. But I think he's trying to prove to the Cincinnati Bengals that he can be a complete tight end. And, you know, he's not too happy that they got Eifert in the first round this year, you know, so that might motivate him to do well. But again, I think the rapport between Andy Dalton and Eifert is going to supersede Gresham.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because right now, you're looking at a lot of weapons in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
Giovanni Bernard, the first running back taken over Andy and all these other cats. And then you got A.J. Green. And then you got another wide receiver out there. So you got to see both these tight ends get their looks. I just think Eifert, let's put it this way, Eifert is Gronk, and Gresham is the non-killing Hernandez. So that's what I look
okay.
at.
Talk to me, Mikal. You into this one or no?
Non-killing Hernandez? What does that mean? Hold on, you know what? I'm going to leave him alone.
Okay.
I love it. But no, I don't know too much about the tight ends over there.
over there in Cincinnati, but
okay.
I would think that Cincinnati is trying to build an arsenal around that young man because he needs it. But he's definitely capable to get that ball to him. So I really want to see them. I was checking them out on the Football Network. They look pretty good.
Yes.
They look pretty good.
Okay, let's move on to my number 23. I listened to a program with MJD on XM Radio yesterday, and it reaffirmed what I thought was going to happen. I'm talking about this guy. He was the number 18 fantasy tight end last season. He ranked only 20th in targets in the position, but caught just under 70% of his targets and was strong after the catch. In 2010, he scored 10 touchdowns. In 2011, he scored 0 touchdowns. In 2012, he scored 4 touchdowns. The only problem with this tight end is drops. He has a NFL high 33 over the last 5 seasons. So it's an average of, what, 6 drops a year? 6 drops a season, give or take. I'm talking about Mercedes Lewis. They have a new coaching staff in Jacksonville. But supposedly, and this was reaffirmed by MJD when he was talking, that he's going to be a bigger part of the passing game, especially with Justin Blackmon being suspended for the first 4 games of the season, and he's got some issues, Justin Blackmon I'm talking about. I don't know if you guys heard about that, but I think his ceiling may be low, but because of the team's quarterback play and whether it's Chad Henne or Blaine Gabbert, because of the offense and MJG coming back from an injury, Mercedes Lewis could have a phenomenal year because the fact is Blaine Gabbert is Mr. Checkdown, favorite target for a young quarterback or any quarterback that has trouble reading defenses or getting the ball downfield is a tight end. So he's going to be used a lot more than he used in the past due to the new coaching staff. Victor, talk to me.
I'll say this. You said the only problem is that that Mercedes has is dropping the ball.
Yeah.
I say that's not the only problem. The real problem is who's throwing them the ball. If you look at last year, Mercedes did drop a lot of passes. However, he dropped a lot of Blaine Gabbert passes. When Chad Henne came in there, that's when he got his 4 touchdowns. I know because I had him as my fantasy tight end in one of my leagues. And, I'm not saying he was deliberately dropping the ball because he didn't like Blaine Gabbert, but the fact that this kid, Blaine Gabbert, is the quarterback and they're giving him every opportunity to keep that job, that tells me I'm going to stay away from any player that is on the Jacksonville team except for MJD until Chad Henne gets the job. Cecil Short, great receiver, but who was he before Chad Henne came in and did some things?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's my point, that you can have these plays and tell folks that they'll be an integral part of the team in the passing game, but if the quarterback doesn't get it to him or the quarterback sucks, it's a waste. I like Mercedes Lewis. I think he has the potential to be a very good tight end for in a later rounds for you. Or waiver wire pickup, but only if Chad Henne is the quarterback. That's just my opinion.
Okay. Well, you know, the year before. Now, I'm not discounting last year, but the year before, I think Blaine Gabbert was a rookie at that time, if I'm not mistaken, right? And Chad Henne, excuse me, not Chaddy, but the year before, let me go back to this again. The year before, which would be in 2011, he failed to get a touchdown, and that's with Blaine Gabbert. So you do have a point there. Now, it all depends on how well Blaine Gabbert progresses or excels in his offense compared to Chad Henne, because the new coaching staff is not tied to either one of these guys. they weren't involved in drafting Blaine Gabbert, and Chad Henne was brought on the team before the coaching staff was here. So it's an open competition. So and let me put it this way: for all that the offensive positions in Jacksonville, I got to think in the back of their mind, they're hoping that Chad Henne, a more experienced quarterback, that's got more ability, in my opinion, than Blaine Gabbert has, gets the job versus Blaine Gabbert. So that's one to watch to see who actually gets the job and how effective the fantasy options, meaning wide receiver and tight end, are going to be, and that really depends on the quarterback play, and the quarterback, to be exact. My next guy used to play in...
Hold up. I want to say something about... I agree with my cousin that, that Mercedes Lewis has a problem, and it's not just Chad Henne who's throwing him the ball. And y'all going to think I'm way out there with this, but, man, have y'all seen those uniforms? They look terrible.
Hey.
Jacksonville sucks. I mean, they suck. The ownership sucks. The I don't know, Slim. And if they debate Blaine Gabbert and Chad Henne, oh my goodness, they are a mess. So I mean, I've seen this young guy play before. You know, I watched a little bit of them play earlier this evening. Well, earlier this morning, I should say, because they were showing them playing Miami. I don't remember him getting too many passes, whatever, but I have seen him play, you know, during the season or whatever, and you know, they should have enough pieces to do some damage, you know, and this guy would be real pivotal because neither one of these quarterbacks look like they can launch the ball that far anyway. And I also agree with what you said about Blaine Gabbert being able to progress. I don't see him being able to progress. So I don't even know if I would take this guy. I really don't know if I would take this guy because Jacksonville is just a mess. I don't know if I would take a player from Jacksonville, let alone Jones-Drew.
Okay. Well, let's move on to the Pacific Northwest. And this guy used to play on the West Coast in Oakland, I should say, and he moved on to the Seattle Seahawks, and he finished as the number 29 tight end. And during the later stages of the season, he and Russell Wilson built a rapport. When he looked his way 19 times over the team's final three games. Miller was targeted 46 times during the regular season and hauled in a position best 83% of those looks. So when he's targeted, when the ball is thrown to him, 83% of the time, which is a very high percentage, he catches the ball. And his 8.6 yards per target mark was the 12th best at the position. He only dropped one target the whole year. Okay, I'm talking about Zach Miller, who was an outstanding tight end when he was with the Oakland Raiders, and he's moved on to the Seattle Seahawks, who I think they're going to probably integrate him a little bit more into the offense, not as much as the wide receivers, but he's going to be a part of them, an option. I think that's why I rated him number 22 on my list. He's a decent tight end two target, and but he's on one of the league's run heaviest most offense. So his ceiling is really limited. Number 22, Mr. Zach Miller. Victor.
All right. I actually think, yes, I'm going to be on Flint because of Percy Harvin's history.
Wait a minute. Say that again because I didn't understand you. Say that again.
I said I think he has the ability to move up on your list because of the Percy Harvin injury and the fact that Sidney Rice is coming off of a hip surgery. That leaves Golden Tate and Doug Baldwin. Yeah, Doug Baldwin to pick up the slack. And I think that if you have Miller there, it's a great opportunity for him to do well. Now, will he or will he not be the standout that Russell Wilson needs because it's a run-heavy offense? I don't know. I'm not going to say yes. I'm not going to say no. But I do think that he's one of those guys that you can keep an eye out on. He'll be on your waiver wire. He will be on your waiver wire. Everybody we've mentioned thus far, maybe not Eifert. Somebody might take a flyer on Eifert once Hard Knocks is over with and see how good he is. But these are all waiver wire guys and bye week guys until they prove differently. And it's one guy I know you're going to name, but I didn't think you'd have him up so high. You probably got him next, but I thought he would be in the lower part of your 25. But I'll let you get to it.
Okay. All right. Hey, Mikhail, you want to comment or no?
Nah, I got nothing on him.
Okay. My next guy, hold on a minute here. Let me just do this. My next guy hadn't missed a game in 4 years until last year. All right, when he was healthy, he was one of the most productive tight ends on his team and in the NFL. He caught 78% of his 36 targets, which was the fourth highest rate at the position, and significantly higher than what we're used to seeing from him. He scored twice. His 8.8 yards per target mark was eighth best among tight ends. Prior to 2012, he ranked in the top 12 among targets for tight ends each of the last 4 years. The only problem is he's yet to eclipse 5 touchdowns in a single season, even though he did score a touchdown in his past preseason game. So they got Mike Wallace. They got Brandon Gibson. They needed a viable option at the tight end position. And ironically, they went to their division rival and got their tight end, Dustin Keller, which is a very viable tight end for Ryan Tannehill. And he's a very reliable downfield threat. He'll probably fall in third in line for targets, probably around between 50 and 55 targets, but he's still a tight end too in my position. So, with that being said, Dustin Keller is my number 21 rated tight end. Talk to me, Victor.
I would have him at 25 or something like that. I really don't think Dustin is going to be that good this year.
Really?
I think yes. The reason why I say that is because that Miami offense is still in its infancy stage as far as getting to know each other. And, yes, that does bode well for the tight end. But
right, exactly.
I think Tannehill is going to be more apt to push it downfield than he is to check it down to Dustin Keller. Now, you can split them out, but I doubt if they want to split them out because we're not still sure about Mr. Miller and his blocking, his pass blocking. So I think when you look at what Keller can do, you put him in the top 25, but probably not 21, maybe not 20. I probably have him at 25 just because he has another quarterback like Mark Sanchez throwing him the ball right now. And until Tannehill can prove that he can be a top-flight quarterback, I don't think Taylor Swift's going to be that great.
Wow, you put Ryan Tannehill in the same category as Mark Sanchez? Wow.
Only because right now, looking at their offense, until they like implement their full offense, I really can't make a big change on my thoughts on that. But I think that Tannehill, he has a pure arm, and he has the ability to do things. But I think with the Keller situation, it's the same situation. He might look for him. He might not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, answer me this, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but answer me this. The type of offense Miami runs is a West Coast offense. Am I right about that?
Correct.
Okay.
It's a modified version, yes.
Okay. In the West Coast offense, and I'm thinking of the Green Bay Packers, I'm thinking of the San Francisco 49ers, I'm thinking of maybe Philadelphia and some other teams I can't think of. But in all those offenses, I think they had a pretty standout tight end. The tight end,
yeah.
I would say, wasn't featured, but the tight end got consistent looks because that's the type of offense the West Coast is, a short passing game and let the player make the play type of offense. And so my thinking is this. If it's a West Coast offense, or modify, whatever you want to say about the West Coast, and if he's having issues of seeing guys down the field, and you got a guy like Dustin Keller in the middle of the field that you can dump it off to, or pass it in the West Coast offense's type of way, I think Dustin Keller, in my opinion, is going to be used a lot more than people think. Now, I have him down at 2021, and in my opinion, this is one of my sleepers. I think he may be used a lot more than a lot of people think. He's still only 28. He still has a lot of football left in him, and he's a durable player. And that's one of the reasons why they got him, so to give him another offensive option besides the Brandon Gibson and Mike Wallace in the middle of the field. I really like Dustin Keller. I may have him down to 21, but that's because of the other guys that are above him, I think are in better situations.
That's
just my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, and I can agree with you, but I think what they got, Mike Wallace, to stretch the field, they're going to try to take some shots downfield. I know it's a West Coast offense, but they're going to try to go deep a lot, and that's going to take away some of those targets.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on. Like I said earlier when I opened this up, that there's the tight ends. There's two sets of tight ends that are going to be on the same team. This is one of them. He was a second-round pick in last year's draft, and he was utilized heavily as a pass catcher right out of the gate as a rookie. He was targeted 10 times in week one and added another 18 targets over his next four games. He had he went on to average about 2.8 targets per game while playing behind the other tight end I'm going to talk about. His catch rate was 58%, and his post-catch production, unfortunately, that wasn't his strong suit, with only 2.4 yards a catch per reception, which was the worst at that position. Now he has a year year experience under his belt. He's back to full health. The other thing is Bruce Arians is out of the picture, but they have their old offensive coordinator, Pep Hamilton. So I expect his reception rate, receptions to probably double because of the fact is they're going to be playing a more conservative offense, and he's going to be more involved in the offense in a conservative type of way than he was last year based on his old college and now present pro offensive coordinator. I'm talking about Kobe Fleener, my number 20 tight end. Talk to me, Victor.
I think you have Fleener at 20. You should have Allen higher. because Alan is the one that they seemingly like to go to. Foligno's going to be a good guy, but I think it's going to be, you know what, yeah, you're about right on that, because Foligno in college was the guy for this offensive coordinator, but for this team, I don't know, because I still think that it's going to be Alan who gets the bulk of the looks and touches, even though I know he's a little injured right now. But I think he's going to be the one to get the bulk of it. You mix in the deep threat of Haywood Bey and Reggie Wayne and T.Y. Hilton. I don't know. I just don't know. But it's a good pick. Again, waiver wire material. A good pick.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, I had two sets. This is the other set I'm going to talk about. He was the league's best blocking tight end, not named Ron Gronkowski. All right? He wasn't selected until the third round of the 2012 draft, so they selected two tight ends, one in the first round, one in the third round. He saw seven or more targets on only three occasions, and that was two of the times when Kobe Fleener was inactive due to a shoulder injury. He was out four games. He ended the season 26th at the position in targets and scored only three touchdowns. But he had a better yak, which is 3.9, and that's over a yard better than Kobe Fleener. And he showed good hands. He only dropped three targets. Okay. Quite naturally, I told you that Pep Matt Hamilton, which is the offensive coordinator from Stanford, is now on board as the offensive coordinator for the Indianapolis Colts. He is a very good blocking tight end, but he has very good hands also. And like Vic says, I think he's going to surpass Kobe Fleener if he hasn't done it already as the better of the two tight ends, even though Kobe Fleener is the more, in my opinion, popular pick because of the connection with Hamilton and Andrew Luck. I think Dwayne Allen, in my opinion, is the better all-around tight end versus Kobe Fleener, who happens to be only a one-trick pony in catching the ball. Victor, talk to me.
I agree. That's it.
Okay. All right, let's move on to, you guys know this guy very well. Hopefully he'll come back in great form. He had a torn Achilles in week 7 of last year. Before that, he was a very strong producer. He was averaging just over 5 targets per game. He was one of RG3's favorite targets. He had 32 targets, but he ranked 6th in yards per targets. And we got a minute and a half left, and we're gonna finish this list today. So if you want to hang into overtime, people, hang in, because we're going to finish this tight end list today. We're at number 18 right now, so we're going to go through these guys until we get to the number one. I think you know who the number one is, but anyway, we're going to go through them. He seems like he's in good shape right now. He caught 70% of his targets each of the last 4 years. He's ranked top 7 in yards after catch per reception each of the last 4 years. I'm talking about Fred Davis, and if he's healthy, he's going to be a viable part of this offense in Washington. And the only problem is he's coming off the torn Achilles, and he's missed 13 games over the last 2 years, which means is he durable enough to stay on the field to be a part of a very good high-scoring offense? Talk to me, Victor.
I love the fact that Fred Davis is back, and he looked pretty good this past preseason game. However, the one knock on Fred Davis is he just does what he's told and leaves it at that. I think that he has the ability to be a very big playmaker, a very big playmaker. I just hope, I hope that he's able to maintain that status of being a playmaker. Just, you know, if things break down, don't just stay still. That's all I'm saying, Fred.
Yes.
Don't just stay still. You know, move around, help the quarterback out. That's why Paulison has come up and done such a great, has had the eyes of a lot of folks in D.C. because he's going RG3. He's moving around. He's going up and getting the ball. So, you know, Fred, he has the ability to do it. I don't know if he will, though.
Okay. Let's move on to the number.
Wait.
Talk to me
wait.
About Fred Davis, my man. I know you know something about him. You want to jump
I
in?
I don't even know why you have him on any list.
Wow.
Period.
Really?
Yeah. Yes, he is extremely overrated. He is not RG3's favorite target. No. No, Slim. Mm-mm. No, RG like to get the ball to wide receivers. He likes to get the ball to his wide receivers. As RG3 progresses in the offense and he gets more into his progression, he may get more Fred Davis may get more catches or whatever, but I'm not sold on him. I am not sold on him at all. I would stay the hell away from him. If he was on the waiver wire or in the draft, I would stay away from him. I don't even know why you got him on the list. He got to prove it. I mean, seriously, I do not believe in that dude. No.
Okay. All right. All right, let's move on to number 17. Okay, this guy hasn't quite lived up to expectations. He was selected in the first round of the 2009 draft. He remains involved in the Lions passing game, but be well off the fantasy radar if they didn't throw the ball so often. Consider this, despite ranking seventh at the position in targets, Pettigrew ranked just 18 in fantasy points per game. The reason for the underwhelming production, first of all, he only scored 3 touchdowns. Next, he ranked 40th out of 44 qualified tight ends in yards per target, which was 6. His 6.6 average depth of target was 4th lowest, but he still managed a poor catch rate of 62%. He dropped 9 balls, which brings him to 33 in his 4-year career, and he's ranked in the top 10 among tight ends in drops each of the last 4 seasons. What else do I want to say about this guy? He's been underwhelming for the last 4 years. He's 28, and he, in my opinion, and I know I rate him above these last 4 or 5 guys, 6 guys, he's a mediocre tight end too, but he's in a pass-happy offense. He's a very extremely big target, 6'7". Brandon Pettigrew, number 17 on my hit list. Victor.
I think that that's a good place for him. I would actually put Fred Davis above him, only because Megatron is always going to be your first option in the passing game. Then you've got Reggie Bush, who's going to be catching the ball as well as running the ball. And then you got Nate Burleson and Boyles. So they're going to use him to do a lot more, Pettigrew, that is, to use him to do a lot more blocking than anything. I think that he's a good pick for the waiver wire if you need somebody. Again, all these players that we're talking about right now are waiver wire materials to me. But Pettigrew has a great upside. If he can hold on to the ball, great upside. Like JerMichael Finley. You know, I put he and JerMichael Finley in the same category, but I wouldn't put him in the top 20. I put him in the bottom half. But it's just your list. So we'll just go with your list.
All right. What about you, Macau?
I don't know this guy.
Okay.
I don't know
Let's
this
move-
guy.
Let's move on to my number 16 guy. Following a breakout 2011 season that saw him hauling 54 balls for 528 yards and 5 scores, Ed Dixon was demoted to a part-time role in 2012. That was due to the Dennis Pitta coming out. Now Dennis Pitta is hurt, which moves Dixon back on the fantasy radar. And quite naturally, because he's going to play a more prominent role because of Anquan Boldin being gone. Flacco needs somebody in the middle of the field that he can rely on dump off besides Ray Rice. He's going to be in a every down role now. He could be realistically end up the second on the Ravens in targets this season. There's one thing you got to know. Joe Flacco likes the tight end, likes to throw to the tight end. There's two things he likes to do. He likes to throw near the middle of the field, a la in tight end territory or slot receiver Anquan Boldin type of territory, or he likes to throw down the field to Torrey Smith. It's either all or nothing with it's either a big throw from Joe Flacco or a short check down in the middle of the field to a tight end or a slot receiver. And I think Ed Dixon's going to benefit from that. This is another guy that may be a sleeper. He's number 16 on my list, but I think he's going to be a sleeper, and I think he's going to be moving up a little bit in the tight end ranks as the season gets closer and people start to see that he's going to be more utilized in the offense to make up for the lack of receiver depth in the offense. Talk to me, Victor.
I think that he is not going to be that big of an impact this year. Mainly, and the reason why I say this is because there's a name there, but he needs to get his feet under him and his hands under him more so than not. Vasante Shanko, who's established in the NFL, but lately he's been having some drop issues. But I think that Dixon will stay in the role he had last year, as Shanko assumes that pass receiving role a little more. Ed Dixon has the ability to do it, but once Baltimore finds that guy that's going to be opposite of Torrey Smith, it's going to go like this. It's going to be Torrey Smith, Ray Rice, and then whoever the other opposite receiver is. The tight end's on the fourth.
Jacoby Jones is the number two wide receiver on the other side right now.
Well, he is, but I don't think Jacoby Jones is going to be that number two guy. I think they got another guy there that's going to be the number two guy. So, in essence, what I'm saying is the tight end is going to be the fourth option in this past game. So.
Okay. Well, this guy, this is another tight end. My number 15. This is another tight end that's coming from the Raiders that had a big year with a quarterback that liked throwing to the tight end. They need an every down back, and he became heavily involved as a pass catcher, and he broke out basically. And I picked this guy up in a few leagues because a lot of people slept on him in the 2012 season. He's in his fourth year at the pro level. He ranked fourth at the position in receptions, sixth in yardage, and scored four touchdowns. He had a 78% catch rate, which was the third best among tight ends, but a low average depth of target, which meant that even though he caught the ball, he didn't do too much with it, and he didn't get too far down the field with it. Only eight tight ends scored more fantasy points than Brandon Myers, who's now with the New York Giants. He's going to be playing Martellus Bennett left and went to Chicago. They had to pick up a viable tight end for Eli Manning, and they picked up a very good one, in my opinion. Maybe not the athleticism as a Martellus Bennett, but Brandon Myers is a very good, reliable tight end, and I think he's going to excel in this offense. I think he's a. This is, you know what, and I think this is another guy that can have a breakout season. Not breakout, but I think this is another guy who's a sleeper. I don't think, even though I have him 15, I can see him being in the top 10, especially with Eli Manning as the quarterback, and as accurate as Eli is, and this guy is very good at getting open. in the middle of the field. So, but Brandon Myers is going to be my number 15 tight end on my hit list. Talk to me, Victor.
I agree. I agree because he's got that ability to do it, and Eli does love throwing to his tight ends, especially in the red zone. But
mm-hmm.
you look at Ramses Barton. Ramses Barton might take a little bit of that away from him. You got a 6'6", 6'7", guy with his body that can also score. But I think that Myers is I think he got a perfectly placed like 15-16 because he's not quite someone you're going to draft, but he's going to be one of those guys you can get off the waiver wire that'll be one of your top selections. So I think
mm-hmm.
that's a good place for him. Very good place for him.
Mikhail, you want to add anything to this, or you just want to move on? Okay.
Go ahead, move on.
Okay. All right. Now, one of Victor's sleepers in the tight end position.
I'm glad you got him up this high.
He's in an offense that I think is going to flourish. He took over as the Arizona starter during the 2012 season. His involvement in the passing game progressed throughout the year. Despite handling 65 targets, he failed to score a single touchdown. He is still yet to find pay dirt during his young NFL career. He was used mainly as an underneath option, but his catch rate were underwhelming, mostly due to an awful quarterback play. All right, and everybody knows the historic ineptitude of the Arizona Cardinals quarterback play last year. Just talk to Larry Fitzgerald. On the bright side, Rob Housler was decent after the catch and only dropped 3 passes. Carson Palmer, quite naturally, is no Kurt Warner, but quite a bit better than John Skelton and Ryan Lindley and Kevin Cobb. Bruce Arians is head coach there. He's got a pass-heavy game. And Housler is locked in as an every-down player and one of Palmer's top 3 or 4 targets because Carson likes to throw to the tight end. He likes to throw. That's why Brandon Myers broke out last year. He likes to throw to the tight end, and which is a good quarterback. He uses all his weapons, including the tight end. And Rob Housler is a very good tight end in a pass-happy offense. So with that being said, Rob Housler is my number 14 rated tight end on this hit list. Talk to me, Victor.
I have him at 13 mainly because he's the first guy I'm looking for on my bye week or, you know, if something happens to my tight end.
Mm-hmm.
I was very impressed when I saw him play against St. Louis last year, and he was getting knocked around. Still held onto the ball, running dudes over. He knocked out a defender who came to hit him. I mean, that dude is he's really Gronk. He's what
mm-hmm.
Gronk is, a big body, big hand guy that catches the ball, that can block, and make stuff happen after he catches the ball. I mean, it's going to take a linebacker or a lineman to take him down. The small safeties and small corners, You can try to take his legs out, yeah, but if you're not going to get him up high. That's a big boy. Big
6'7", 250. Big boy.
Yeah.
Big boy.
And like I said, same dimensions as Gronk, or just
mm-hmm.
about the same, and has good hands. And the good thing about this is you have Roberts out there. You have Larry Fitzgerald. You've got Floyd. So he's going to see. You're going to have to put a tight end, a linebacker or a safety on him.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can body that guy out, that's one-on-one. You're not going to – and he'll kill you in the zone. So all you have to do is sit down and catch the
mm-hmm.
ball.
Right.
So I really like that that position. Like I said, I haven't been 13, not 14, but I like
mm-hmm. that. Well, this guy, and I think because of the offense that he – this next guy, because of the offense that they're going to scale back, and try to curtail this guy, the quarterback, from throwing the ball deep downfield. And I think Mike McCoy is going to have Antonio Gates more involved in the offense They struggled. He struggled with injuries and underwhelming play at the wide receiver position. Gates was Philip Rivers' most consistent pass catcher last season. He racked up 76 targets, which only ranked 19th at the tight end position, but he did score 7 touchdowns. Impressively, Gates has now found pay dirt 7 or more times each season since 2003. Although his average depth of target, 11.5, was the fifth highest at the position, and his catch rate dropped by 10 percentage points from 2011, his post-catch production was extremely poor. He's 33 years old, and Father Time is catching up to him, and he's dropped off significantly in several areas. But the offensive scheme that's going to change figures to have Antonio Gates heavily involved in the offense. So even though he's 33 and battled injury throughout the season, he's still been a productive tight end. I like Antonio Gates at number 13, a lucky 13 on my list. Talk to me, Victor.
He's my number 20, and I want to tell you why. I like what the offensive-minded head coach is going to try to do.
Right.
Hey, you got Denario Alexander, who's hurt again. You've got Malcolm Floyd out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Because you can't rely on Matthews. You can't rely on Ronnie Brown. You can't rely on any of those guys out there to be a weapon for the offense. That one leaves Antonio Gates, which means he's going to get doubled a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know if he's going to get injured either. So I have him completely off my radar. I don't plan on picking him. I don't think San Diego is going to do well at all this year. In fact, I think they're going to be the last team in the AFC West.
Okay.
Or second or last, I should say. But, I don't have him that high. He's a name now. He's a name.
All right. All right. Well, we'll move on to number 12. And this guy is near and dear to my heart. He's happened to be Matt Schaub's favorite target, not named Andre Johnson. He finished fantasy's number 8 tight end last season despite missing one game. He finished 5th at the position in targets, 9th in yards, and scored 6 times. His catch rate is 63%, which was ranked 35th among the 44 qualified tight ends. He's now 30, all right? And he's one of the two, now 3 options in the passing game, taking out the running back. So with that being said, Owen Daniels is my number 12 rated tight end. To me, he's the starting tight end. If you're in a 12-team league, he's one of your starting tight ends, okay? Even though they have DeAndre Hopkins, who they picked up in the first round, who I talked about last week, he's still a reliable target for Matt Schaub, who he's going to go to often. And I don't expect his production to drop much off what he did last year. Talk to me, Victor.
I agree with you. That's the bottom line. I agree with you on the placement of Owen Daniels. I think he's going to be a vital part of the success of the Texans. So I think he is someone you draft in a 12-team league. I agree with you.
Okay. This guy here, I really like this guy here. The next guy, he happens to be number 11 on my list, and I don't know if many fantasy football players are aware of this guy, but I think this guy's got a huge upside, and he's playing with an offensive coordinator that has excelled in getting the ball to tight ends. He's a converted basketball player, and is one of the league's most athletically gifted pass-catching tight ends. He spent the first two seasons of his NFL career on the bench behind a vet, and a very good vet, in Ben Watson. In 2012, he racked up a career-high 31 targets, even though he caught an underwhelming 65% of the looks, but part of that was a 9.5 average of target, which was the 12th highest at the position. His 3.3 yards after the catch per reception provides optimism that Mr. Jordan Cameron can do some damage when the ball is in his hands. I like Jordan Cameron in the number 11 position. North Turner likes to get the ball to the tight end. Okay, you got a young quarterback in Brandon Whedon. You got a young old quarterback, I should say, in Brandon Whedon with Rod Chudzinski and North Turner leading the offense, and that's an extremely tight end friendly offense. So this guy, he's ranked number 11, but I expect this guy to be a huge sleeper this year. Jordan Cameron, number 11. Talk to me, Victor.
I don't have him at number 11. I have him just outside of your top 12 because, yes, I think Cameron's a very good receiving tight end. And I saw him run when they just played in this preseason game. For a big guy, he has wheels. He has wheels.
Oh, yeah.
And good hands.
Oh, yeah. He's a former basketball player, man. He's I'm telling you, he can go.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's, like, right there with me, or right there with Hausler in my book. So I think it's a good placement for him. But I don't think he's ready to take that step yet to be one of the top 12 drafted. I don't think he's ready to be drafted just yet.
You got Rod Chudzinski and North Turner. Jason Witten. Oh, I feel like Jason Witten for one.
I know. Jay Novacek and,
yep.
You know, we got all these. I got it. But right now, I would, like, again, he's one of those guys that I'm getting later on in the draft if I draft him. You know, he's not going to be my first pick at tight end. If I'm, you know, picking early or picking my tight end within the first 7 to 8 rounds.
Well, that's what I'm saying. What in a sleeper like this, this guy, I'm looking at his average draft position is about 158. So you can wait. This is one of the things I'm saying. You can wait on a tight end, pick up other positions, other players in different positions, because a lot of people. That's why I think he's a sleeper. A lot of people are going to sleep on this guy, and not realize that the two head guys, Rod Chudzinski, North Turner. The tight end position in those in their offense is a very friendly position to be in. And you could pick up other guys, and other guys are picking up all these other tight ends. And while they're picking up tight ends, you can pick up another running back or another wide receiver and wait on a tight end because now this guy is sitting way, way, way down, and nobody's thinking about him. They're thinking about the names that I have above this guy. You follow what I'm saying? So,
Oh yeah.
You can pick up a jewel way down in the draft, and use a pick earlier in the draft to pick up a tight end when you can get the same amount of production, if not more, from a tight end position in a later round. Anyway,
I agree.
Let's move on to now we're going into the top 10. This guy, and it was a shame. Because I know he was frustrated with the quarterback play and the type of offense they ran, and he was underutilized. But he's very physically gifted, and he's moved on to another team that's starving for receivers. He ranked third at the position in yards per reception, and he seemed primed for a 2012 breakout. Instead, his targets dropped, and his yards per reception mark took a massive dive. Despite working the slot on two-thirds of his snaps, Jared Cook was barely able to clear 500 receiving yards and scored only four touchdowns. Now, he signed with a new club, a $35 million contract for 5 years with the Rams. He's got, in my opinion, a hell of a lot better quarterback in Sam Bradford. And his competition, Lance Kendricks, doesn't have the same skill set as Jared Cook. So I'm looking for Jared Cook and big things for Sam Bradford and Jared Cook in the offense that they're going to run. Talk to me, Victor. Number 10, Jared Cook.
If Bradford can get him the ball, Cook can be explosive. He liked Howie Kendrick a lot. He threw a lot of balls at Howie Kendrick. I mean, those are going to go to Cook now. I have him at number 12, just like my last tight end to draft out of that was Stark. But it's a good situation for him because he's the known commodity there in St. Louis. He can go down, he can stretch the field, he's in the middle. Bradford likes to throw it to him, so yeah, he is very draftable. Good fit.
Okay. Hey, Mikal, you got any input?
No, I'm good. Listening.
Okay. All right, this next guy, number nine, and I picked this guy up and last year, and he had a heck of a year, even though he was at times, a little inconsistent, and that was due to the quarterback play, and it's, a lot of it has to do with the quarterback play, but this guy, I really didn't like his quarterback, but young quarterback, check down, always loved the tight end, and this guy was had a very volatile 2012 season, but still managed 9 touchdowns in 17 games. Only the Gronk had more. He had 7-plus targets on 6 different occasions. He finished as the number 11 rated tight end. He ranked 25th in receiving yards, 38th in catch rate, 43rd in average depth of target, 41st in yards per target, and 25th in drop rate. Meaning, he was so far down on all those, but he scored 9 touchdowns. So he was a red zone target for oh my God, I can't. Who's the quarterback for Minnesota? Wow.
Ponder.
Christian Ponder. Thank you, Christian Ponder. Wow, my mind just went blank there for a minute. Kyle, I'm talking about Kyle Rudolph. I think he's still going to be a solid tight end one. He's only age 23, and he's still heavily involved in the offense, especially near the red zone. I know they got Greg Jennings, but I'm talking about near the red zone. I know they got Cordell Patterson, but his most reliable target when he gets down near the goal line is Kyle Rudolph. And because he just scores touchdowns like Chris Carter, he just scores touchdowns. And I have him up rated there, number 9. Mr. Kyle Rudolph is on 9 on my hit list. Talk to me, Victor.
I have him a lot higher than that. I have him like 5 or 6 because Rudolph,
wow,
even with Christian Ponder, was able to do those things. Now, I don't think Christian Ponder is going to be the starter for long. And I think that Castle's going to throw to Rudolph a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I have him in my top 5 to 7. But, yeah, definitely somebody you want to draft. Definitely. I agree.
Okay. I got this one guy I want to talk about, but I got to take a quick break. Victor, I need you to give me about a minute, and I'll be right back. Talk about Jermichael Finley if you can. All right?
Ah, gotcha. Jermichael Finley is the guy that Jerry kidnapped a couple of years back, put him in the back of his trunk, and he disappeared.
He has not been seen since on the field in Wisconsin, the Green Bay of Cheese Packers. Now, the kid has talent. Excuse me. The kid has major, major talent. The only thing lacking is that he has to block a lot more now. And he can block. He's a full-scale tight end. Now, looking at what's going on in Green Bay, Jordy Nelson's hurt. Randall Cobb is their all-purpose receiver slash returner slash sometimes get the ball in the backfield type guy. Jones, he finally came on last year. You know, he caught like 12, 13 touchdowns last year, which is great. But I think this is the year that JerMichael needs to step up and be that guy. But it's not all his fault. It's not all his fault. He's had to help block. And the offensive line, the way it is, that doesn't bode well, in my opinion, for his fantasy chances. Even with him blocking decently last year, Aaron Rodgers was still sacked the most times in the NFL. And now they're on their second stringers starting. Production will not be as high for JerMichael Finley as some people might think. I have him below like four of the five guys we already talked about. I have JerMichael Finley, like, he's like my number 18, only because he's going to have to block more. He's just going to have to. It's not because of his ability or lack thereof. It's the situation. JerMichael Finley is one of those guys that's in a bad situation, even though it's a pass-happy offense. He just won't be able to put up the numbers that he's capable of because, again, he's going to have to block. That's what I got, JT.
Okay. Well, he ranked ninth among tight ends in receptions last year. Unfortunately, he only scored twice, and he dropped 9 balls. That's a lot. He dropped 12 balls in 2011. So that's one of his biggest caveats, is that he drops a lot of balls, and he's got to contend with targets for Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson, and James Jones, and along with the. I think they're going to be running the ball more, too. So I understand you have.
And he has not been the same since you kidnapped him.
I still have him. You see, I have still have a love fest with him. So, you know, he's still up there. So that's why he's rated number 8 on my hit list here. Anyway, let's move to number 7. All right, this guy moved from the friendly confines of MetLife Stadium. Where he was an every-down player with some success. He had a one-year deal with the Giants. He ranked 11th at the position in targets and scored 5 touchdowns. He was often utilized as a downfield threat, ranking 8th at the position with a 10.4 average depth of target. His catch rate and post-catch production, however, leave plenty of to be desired. He only ranked... let me put it this way. He only came up 4 fantasy points short of finishing as a top 12 fantasy tight end, and that was the first time in his career. So he moves over to the Chicago Bears with Mark Trestman, who is a short passing and another guy in the West Coast offense that it's going to get the ball to the tight end from the quarterback. So he's rated number 7 on my hit list. He's a little wacky at times. He can go a little off the radar at times. But I think he's matured quite a bit, especially in football sense. Martellus Bennett is going to be a number 7 rated fantasy quarterback as I see it right now. Talk to me, Victor.
He's going to be a tight end, not a quarterback. But
well, I know that. But the quarterback's going to throw the ball to him. Trestman's make sure that he's going to get the ball from the quarterback.
You're right. But my thing is he's not consistent with his hands. That's the one thing I'm not too pleased about with Martellus.
and that's why I would have him like number 12 on my list, because yes, he's a guy that will get balls thrown to him, and he's a guy that can make big plays, but he's also a guy that had drop issues as well. He's in an offense that'll work for him. He's got a solid receiver on the same side as him in Brandon Marshall. So you're right, he should put up good numbers. He should. But based on his history, you know, he's not my preferable person at this position. I'm waiting to see if you have this one guy in there, and you should be giving to him, but if you don't, I'm going to throw him back at you in a minute. But go ahead and finish up.
All right, this guy's more of a receiver than a tight end. He sent 35% of his snaps in line this past season. He actually lined up in the backfield 11% of the snaps, but he still ranked 7th at the position in yards per target. He worked as Cam Newton's number 2 target behind Steve Smith. Greg Olsen ranked 6th among tight ends in both targets and receptions while finishing 4th in yardage. He scored 5 touchdowns and has scored exactly 5 touchdowns during 4 of the last 5 seasons. His catch rate is 72%, which is 13th the highest at the position. His 53% catch rate was the 3rd worst among all tight ends. In 2011, his 53% catch rate was the third worst among tight ends. Now he's a lot better than that. They didn't do too much to shore up the wide receiver position. So, in essence, the pecking order in reception targets is basically the same. It's Steve Smith and then Greg Olsen. I still see him as a number 1 tight end, and that's why I have him rated number 6th on my hit list. Talk to me, Victor.
I got him at number 5, so we're in agreement.
Okay. All right, let's move on to this guy. And I don't even know why I can see why, because that's his position, but I think he's going to be used more in the wide receiver position than he is going to be used in the tight end position. I think they're going to move him all over the field because of his skill set. He racked up 7 or more targets 4 times in 19 games, but was below 4 targets in 10 games. The good news is that he and Colin Kaepernick finished the year up strong. Kaepernick looked Vernon Davis's direction on 24% of his throws, which we equated to 19 total targets during the team's 3 playoff games. After finishing in the top 10 at the position and targets each of the previous 3 years, Vernon Davis, and I didn't realize this, but Vernon Davis fell to 30th during the 2012 regular season. His production, when the ball came his way, however, ranking 3rd at the position in yards per target. So whenever he got the ball, quite naturally, with his athletic ability, he produced. Well, the thing that's changed now is that Michael Crabtree is out for the season. Vernon Davis's role in the passing game is to take a huge boost because somebody has to be basically the go-to wide receiver. And Vernon Davis has a skill set as a overblown, bulked-up wide receiver with the speed he has and his athleticism. So he has a very high ceiling as a tight end, and I expect Vernon Davis to have a huge season, and that's why I have him rated number 5, and he possibly could be up even higher than that come the end of the season. Vernon Davis, number 5 on my hit list.
Number 2 on mine, mainly because of exactly what you said, his new role on the team, because A.J. Jenkins is not proven to be the guy that can step out there and take the place of Crabtree. You've got Mario Monahan, who's a good receiver, but he has health issues. I know
yes.
It's a ground and pound team, but Kaepernick can throw the ball. And they're going to let VD go out there and, you know, dominate some of these smaller cornerbacks. He's just going to do it. So I have him at number two. I got a feeling your number two or number three is my number five.
Okay.
But we'll see what happens.
Okay. Even though this guy was this next guy. Hey, you want to comment, Mikhail? I'm sorry. You want to comment?
Nah, I'm good. I'm good.
Oh, okay. This next guy, even though he's allergic to the end zone, his catch, he was a pass-catching machine. He set an all-time tight end record with 110 receptions this past season. Jimmy Graham led the position in fantasy points last year, but Jason Witten placed all tight ends in targets, receptions, and yardage. All that kept him from the top spot was his production in the touchdown department. He only scored three touchdowns. His average depth of target was slightly up from 2011 this past season, but his yards per reception actually took a dive of 2.5. He had a catch rate of 75%, which was seventh best at the position, and 29% of his snaps this past season, Witten was a slot on 29% of his pass this past season from 17% in 2011. Not much has changed, and he's basically going to have the same type of production as like 64 plus receptions each of the past 9 years. So he's my number four tight end, Jason Witten. I know you guys don't want to hear that, but Jason Witten, number four on my hit list. Victor.
I can agree with that, because Witten is, to me, right now, the number four tight end, even though he has a lot of opportunity coming his way. I think he's number four. I agree with that 110%, yeah.
Okay. Mikhail, you want to comment? Nope.
No,
okay.
I don't know Jason Witten, man. Come on, man, really?
No problem. Okay, this other guy. I understand. That's why I understand. Hey, this next guy, he's in a pass-happy offense. Quite naturally, when I tell you this is more likely going to be his final season, you know what I'm talking about. 2012, he caught 93 balls. He scored eight times. His 77%. Yeah, his 77% catch rate ranked second at the position. Excuse me, and he only dropped four balls. 37 years old, he's number three in the wide receiver option, lining up at wide receiver more often than at tight end. He ranked no better than seventh worst at the position in yak each of the last 5 years. Need I say more, this guy is a perennial all-pro every year and a future Hall of Famer. I have him number three on the hit list, Mr. Tony G from the Atlanta Falcons.
Agreed. I actually think he's number three, not number four. But, yes, agreed.
All right. Ooh. Now the top number two, which is no big surprise. Now this guy, he may not start the season because of his health issues. But when he does come back, I think he's going to be the number two tight end. He scored 11 times, which led the position for the third consecutive year. He's racked up a crazy 41 career receiving touchdowns in 48 games, which is absolutely nuts, and he's only 24 years old. He's had forearm back, four forearm surgeries and a minor back surgery, which is five altogether. Quite naturally, more than likely he won't be in week one or week two for that. But I still think that with that being the case, that he's still ranked number two from the New England Patriots. They call him the Gronk, Rom Gronkowski. Talk to me, Victor.
Number three. Based on that fact that he can't start the season. He can, but he won't start the season off as somebody I can use right away. I mean, I think he will be a very, very good player and maybe even a first-round draft pick. if he were healthy. But right now, he's number three on my list because of the injury. I already told you Vernon Davis is my number two. So, but you have somebody else at number two.
Yep. Okay. Despite the fact that he was the top scoring fantasy tight end in 2012, it was actually a disappointing season. His catches, yards, touchdowns, each of his relevant rate stats took a dive from 2011. That may have to do with his head coach and the offensive guru Sean Payton out of action due to suspension. Graham played significantly more often in the slot. After scoring seven times while lined up out wide, Graham only caught eight passes out wide in 2012. He did miss one game, and questions were raised about his health of his wrist after he dropped 15 passes, nearly double his career total entering the season. Graham's biggest asset might be his consistency, as he saw six-plus targets in all but one game last season. He had off-season surgery to his wrist, but he's expected to be back fully healthy. Sean Payton is back, 6'9", 265, one of the main targets of a very pass-happy New Orleans Saints offense. In fact, the clear number one target, even though they have some very good options in the wide receiver position. Jimmy Graham, in my opinion, is easily the top tight end in the fantasy. Talk to me, Victor.
I agree. I believe he's number one. I think he's going to have a very good season this year. And he's going to prove that he should have been in the top 100.
You're muddled, Victor. You're muddled.
I was saying that I think he's going to prove that he should have been in the top 100. He is the number one tight end this year. It'll be him, Vernon Davis, Gronk, and Tony G. And then, in my opinion, Jason Witten. They round up the top five for me. But I think Jimmy is going to just go all over the place. Think about it. Henderson's gone. Somebody else is gone. And right now your starting receivers are Colson and Lance Moore. And Lance Moore has issues staying healthy. Let's keep it real. Jimmy Graham can line up at the slot receiver, or he can go out wide and he can come as a tight end. He's going to be really utilized this year. Really, really utilized. So we'll see what happens with him. But I think he's the number one tight end this year.
And it boggles my mind that you could have, and I understand why they have Ron Gronkowski there in the top 100, but not have Jimmy Graham. Yeah, I mean, discount of fantasy. He's got to be one of the top 100 players in the league, and I can't believe they didn't have him listed anywhere in that list of top 100 players. It boggles my mind. But it is what it is, and I can't discount it. All right, Macal, you've been sitting by the wayside. You need to step up and promo your show and anything else that you want to say before we get out of here.
My cousin is a weak, whack, drab imitation of family. I'm sorry. I'm talking real talk each and every Tuesday night, Matt. PM Eastern Standard Time. You can check us out on Facebook. That address is facebook.com/grown. So disregard that first announcement. I was just trying to see if y'all was listening.
All right, Victor. All right, Victor.
This is real, real good information and sports and beneficial enlightenment. Happening here on this network. We've got Sylvia Crowley coming up with Time Out tomorrow, 7 p.m. Then on Thursdays, we have FSP Crew Show, 8 p.m. Fridays, we have No Chaser. Saturdays, we've got FSP, Fantasy Sports and Politics. Then come right back down to Sunday, where you got this guy, the master, JTAT and Money. And I'll be helping him co-host from time to time, especially during the next month and a half or so. So, yeah, you got great quality here. No need to go anywhere else. And those that do listen to us, they do win. I mean, at least that's what I can say, because I actually play the game and know the game and have won. So we'll see what happens this year.
Okay. With that being said, I want to thank you guys for joining me today. It was a pleasure having both of you on here. And I'm even extremely happy that you guys kept it civil. Tune in next week, like Victor said, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sunday. I'll be coming back with my top 25, my best subject, my guys, running backs next week. I got some surprises. I definitely got some surprises, and I'm going to give you some busts that I think are not going to show out like you think they're going to show out. Running backs in fantasy next week, this time. With that being said, I want to close the show out with one of my favorite players. He happens to play on the defensive side of the ball. He caught a lot of scrutiny when he played the game, of course, he said he didn't tackle, but...
Oh, must be the money.
Like I said, Deion Primetime is one of my favorite players. He talks a lot of junk. He can back it up, and it's all in fun. It's never to hurt, always just to have a good time. With that being said, I want to thank you all for listening. Tune in next week. Enjoy the rest of the day. Enjoy the weekend. Peace and blessings, like Mikal says. We're out of here.
Well, all right. Yeah.